Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. And just to repeat my announcement, in case anybody's tuning in for the first time or hasn't listened to other recordings, I previously was saying that we were going to be upgrading our conference line. Luckily, they are now doing that for us, so our call-in details will stay the same, which is great news because I was having a lot of resistance to doing it. So I need to do nothing, and I'm still very happy about that. Before we begin our reading, let's do as we normally do and begin our time this evening with a brief period of silence. So let's come together and turn our collective attention from without to within. And let's just begin by taking a few deep breaths. And bringing your attention inside to the space of willingness in your heart. We all have it, or we wouldn't be here. It's our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was. It's our willingness to remember the truth. It's our willingness to extend miracles and to receive miracles. It's our willingness to see past appearances, all appearances, to the truth beyond. So in your mind, offering your willingness to Holy Spirit. And trusting that this tiny bit of willingness is all that is asked of us for the memory of God to easily flow across our awareness. And that's what we're joined together in our holy purpose tonight, is to remember the truth. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. We trust our time together is holy, and we give it to Holy Spirit to be used on behalf of the highest good. And taking another nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Thank you, everybody, so much for taking the time to be here. The world needs this. The world needs our stillness and our remembrance of the truth, and that's what we're joined together to do. So I am reading where we left off last week in the purple edition by the Circle of Atonement. I'm on page 832, paragraph number 5. It begins with the sentence, memory holds a message it receives. That corresponds to the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, chapter 28, part 1, paragraph 5, sentence number 3. You'll notice that the paragraph breaks are different. In the Sparkle edition, that is page 646, it's the second full paragraph on the page, the third sentence, memory holds the message it receives. And last but not least, the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, that's often the black book with pearls on it. It is chapter 28, part 2, paragraph 5, sentence number 3. Memory holds the message it receives. So there you go. That's all of our editions, and I'm going to get all these books. off to the side. So I'm reading from the Purple Edition, the Circle of Atonement Edition. So if you notice, you know, any slight editing differences, if you're reading in a different edition, that's why. I'll just do a quick recap. So last week, we started this new chapter with some pretty profound and amazing ideas just about this teaching, how the miracle really does nothing. It's not like something is happening when a miracle happens. Miracles simply undo. They simply are part of this process of the atonement, of wiping away that which hasn't happened so we can remember what's actually true, which is God, which is love. Miracles are expressions of love, as we know. So it's simply undoing the fear block that we've put in the way. I think I'll leave it at that. If you haven't had a chance to either listen to last week's call or read those first few paragraphs, they're really great. So we're going to start with this fifth paragraph, starting with memory holds the message it receives. And just a reminder for everybody, if you have background noise, you can mute your line by pressing *6. That keeps a nice, clear line for the recording later on and all of us. So thank you. All right, diving in. Memory holds a message it receives and does what it is given it to do. It does not write the message nor appoint what it is for. Like to the body, it is purposeless within itself. And if it seems to serve to cherish ancient hates and offer you the picture of injustices and hurts that you are saving, this is what you asked its message be, and this is what it is. Committed to its vaults, the history of all the body's past is hidden there. All of the strange associations made to keep the past alive, the present dead, are stored within it, waiting your command that they be brought to you and lived again. And thus do their effects appear to be increased by time, which took away their cause. So this is, when I read this paragraph, I got excited because this is saying, and actually, in the last paragraph that we read, that we ended with last week, it's talking about how memory is a skill that can actually remember now. So memory is a capacity that we have. It's a skill that we've developed. And that skill can either be used by the ego to fill up with past thoughts, with thoughts of all the pain and all the, you know, betrayal and all the bad things that have happened in the past, all the memories to keep the present obscure. So that's what the ego will do with this skill that we've developed, this capacity that we've developed to have a memory. But serving the Holy Spirit, in the paragraph, I'm actually jumping back to the paragraph that we ended with last week, it says that it's hard for us to realize that memory is a skill that can remember now. So as we repurpose memory, as we are willing to be taught to not hang on to what we think memory is or all the thoughts that the ego would fill in memory, the Holy Spirit can repurpose memory in order to help us remember the now. Because as we look about, we're seeing the past. All of our thoughts that seem to occupy our minds, they're past thoughts. God is in the now. That's what's present for us. And everything else is a distraction. So this paragraph is saying that like to the body, memory is completely purposeless within itself. Memory, just like the body is neutral, memory is neutral. It depends who we are employing to utilize these things, and therefore they will serve in that way. So again, if it's the ego, which is going to employ memory to cherish ancient hate and offer you pictures of injustices and hurts that you are saving, this is what we asked that its message be, and so this is what it is. So it's clearly saying that injustices and hurts we are saving in our memory. And that is there as a block to remembering God. And it's a choice that we are making to hang on to those things. It can seem like hurts and injustices are unforgivable because to the ego they are. Remember that to the ego, sin is real. You know, something horrible is done and then that's it. It's really unforgivable. But the Holy Spirit is showing us through miracles, through actual experiences, that what we thought happened was actually just a dream. It's unaffected. It's unchanged. who it is that we really are, our reality. And so we can actually just let it fall away. We can laugh it away. It can just be what it is, which is nothing. So I think that this is a pretty profound paragraph, and very different, obviously, to thinking about, you know, memory in the way that we usually do, because memory, as the Course is teaching us, is a skill that can be used to remember now. Questions or comments so far?
I have a comment.
Sure.
It's kind of like what we talked about last time, and I had brought up about how when I do family things, I'm always, the people that I'm with, my family, they remember the Christine when I was a child, or
yeah, the past.
And it's actually all about memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit that, yes, I also, it's like going to Thanksgiving dinner and you're remembering past Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to live in the now. But I have mm-hmm. to admit, my ego does fall back on past experiences.
And that's what it will do. That's the whole nature of the ego. And so that's where it's our little part to notice that, you know, to be vigilant, to notice that that's where our mind is going, and to choose again. And that choosing again can be as simple as, Holy Spirit, help. Help. That's like the simplest and quickest of all prayers, because in saying help, what are we saying? But we're saying, I mean, to me, when I say help, that means like, I'm open. I'm willing to see different. Here you go. You know, take it all. So that opening to the Holy Spirit is the little bit that is needed to start shifting that situation and that experience. Because our body's eyes were made to see the past. So if we are relying on them, you know, that's what we're going to see. And if we are relying on, you know, memory as we know it, we're going to see the past. And so it's a part of being here in this world. Were you going to say something, Paula?
I have to laugh because the very thing we're talking about, memory, is what we could use to remember this teaching.
Right.
And how selective is it? How selective is it that we don't choose a lot of the time? Because I'm thinking to myself, man, this is really radical. This is radical. But it really isn't when you think about it, because we're willing to remember, or I'll speak for myself, I'm willing to remember past aggravations, hurts. I can do that very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But
Paula.
I think I need to be a little bit more willing to remember this.
You make such an important point that we could choose to remember this, to put this in our memory and have it be right up there. But why don't we do that? It says right here in this paragraph, it offers you pictures of injustices and hurts that you are saving. So there's something in us that would rather, you know, have those other memories, because we can be the victim, or it gives us, you know, justification to talk bad or to judge or whatever it may be. That's, we have to start to have real experiences that show us that causes us pain. And not only does
yeah.
it cause us pain, but it causes others pain as well. And that this is what makes us happy. So it's through this, you know, experience, the contrast that the Holy Spirit uses to show us that, you know, that over there, how we are using memory, you know, is not making us happy, and that we can choose to remember this too. We can put this in our memory instead. I love your point about how selective it is.
The ego, the one line that's coming to me right at the moment is the ego is suspicious at best and vicious at worst. It
mm-hmm.
does not want us to remember this. And
nope.
it'll get in there and try and sidetrack us. But I really think the Holy Spirit is, once again, the answer to that. You know?
100%.
All right, I'm off track. Get me back on track.
Yep, 100%. That's always the answer. The Holy Spirit is always the answer. Thank you for that, Paula.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's keep reading. Okay, so this first sentence here, so it's in addition with memory and the body, both being things that are neutral and do nothing, let's throw in time. Yet time is but another phase of what does nothing. It works hand in hand with all the other attributes with which you sought to keep concealed the truth about yourself. Time neither takes away nor can restore. And yet you make strange use of it as if the past had caused the present, which is but a consequence in which no change can be made possible because its cause had gone. And change must have a cause that will endure or else it cannot last. No change can be made in the present if the cause is past. Only the past is held in memory as you make use of it. And so it is a way to hold the past against the now. I'm going to read the footnote that is after one of these sentences because this is just so clear. In other words, when you believe that the past has caused the present, then the present becomes a mere consequence in which no change can be made, because to introduce change, you would have to change the cause, which no longer exists because it's in the past. So this is quite a clever ego tactic to say, well, things are the way they are right now because of what happened in the past. You are the way you are because of what you went through in the past. The past is over. You can't change it. So you're just screwed. That's what the ego would say. And what the Holy Spirit is saying is that time is also one of these, you know, seeming experiences that really does nothing. The ego is using time to keep the cause in the past. And therefore, whatever we are experiencing now can't be changed because the past is gone, and so we can't just do anything about it anymore. Whereas the Holy Spirit would say, you know, the past never was, and healing happens right now. It happens this instant. Anything that we struggle with, habit-wise, thoughts, relationships, it can all be healed in the now. And we've shared many, many examples on this call of things shifting in an absolute instant. I've had amazing, amazing healings with family members that I've not shared directly who they are, but that I've referenced many times on this call, being, you know, very challenging teachers of mine, and incredible healings that have come about. I always think of your story, Paula, about quitting smoking, about it just falling away, and you've shared so many examples that, like, work and relationships and things just shifting. This is the Holy Spirit's use of time. It's to, you know, collapse time, to collapse the ego experiences that the ego would have us go through to help us completely remember the now, which is where God is. Thank goodness. We're not screwed. Let's keep going. Let's read another paragraph. Remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were badly taught. That's quite a blow to the ego self-esteem, right? Remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were badly taught. And who would keep a senseless lesson in his mind when he can learn and preserve a better one? When ancient memories of hate appear, remember that their cause is gone, and so you cannot understand what they are for. Let not the cause that you would give them now be what it was that made them what they are or seem to be. So in other words, let's not place cause in the past anymore. Be glad that it's gone, for this is what you would be pardoned from. And see instead the new effects of cause accepted now with consequences here. So in other words, in the now, We choose for ego, we choose for fear, we choose for separation, we're going to experience those consequences. We're going to experience those consequences immediately. We choose for Holy Spirit, we choose for truth, we're going to have miracle experiences, we're going to have awakening experiences. It's all happening in the now. There's nothing back then that happened that is, you know, a source of anything that's happening now. We're just constantly making the choice for ego or for spirit in this moment. And I love how it says, I'll just finish my sentence and then please jump in.
Sure.
This sentence where it says, when ancient memories of hate appear, so when we have those grudges, those grievances, you know, that family member that did something 10, 20 years ago, remember that their cause is gone, and so you cannot understand what they are for. That's that teaching from the Course, I do not know what anything is for. If we can just remember that, just even for an instant, you know, I don't know what this is for. Like, that sucks, and it's in my mind still, but I don't know what it's for, and I'm willing to see differently. John. You might be on mute. John, did we lose you?
I can't hear you. I'm so sorry. Still can't hear you. I don't know what happened. Can everybody else hear me? Can somebody else tell me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm still here. Don, I don't know why we can't hear you. Maybe if you want to disconnect and then call back, or if there's a mute button on your phone.
And I'm so sorry, that's my phone ringing in the background. I usually try to call.
Can't hear me?
Yes, now I can. I can hear you now.
Hello? Please leave a message.
Oh, my goodness, my intuition. John, I heard you. I heard, can you hear me? And then you disappeared again. Whenever you want to jump in, please do. I'll keep an ear out for you, but I don't know what's going on. Anybody else want to add anything or ask any questions?
Oh, boy, there's something wrong with the phone.
I'll hang up and call back.
Oh, now I hear you say, I'll hang up and call back. Now you're here.
Okay.
Okay,
am I here?
Keep going. Yeah,
okay.
<you're> here.
Sorry about that waste of time.
No problem. I'm sorry about my phone ringing. It's all good.
So, what occurs to me here is, you know, this is really asking me to not hold on to the past,
mm-hmm.
like you were just. Even good stuff,
mm-hmm.
But for me anyway, part of that problem is, but if I let go of it, then I don't have, you know, this gets into the idea of what forgiveness is, as the Course doesn't talk about forgiveness. It means that I have to let something go,
mm-hmm.
if that's the particular memory I'm holding on to. It means I have to let go of being right or getting my way,
mm-hmm.
or having my say,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, making my point.
Mm-hmm.
It just has, it's so loaded
mm-hmm.
with emotion
mm-hmm.
and self-will that is just when I can remember that, then I can see what's actually holding me on to the past, what's
mm-hmm.
connecting that ancient hate.
Mm-hmm.
But the ego, you know, the human being in general just does not like to let go of something. And that's
mm-hmm.
what that's asking me to do.
Yeah, that's a really, and I heard some chuckles in the background because we're very much identifying with what you're saying that, and you know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I want to say is that remember that obviously, from the ego standpoint, it's going to feel like exactly what you're saying. Like, it's going to feel like you're letting something go. You're not having
mm-hmm.
your say, you know, you're doing the world's forgiveness. We're like, you know, it really happened, but okay, I'm going to just let it go and,
right.
you know, forgive you. Remember, one of the ways that it's helpful for me to think about this is that remember that forgiveness is a removal. It's a wiping away. So rather than letting it go, it's as if all that pain and turmoil and everything that you're describing gets lifted. It shifts. It falls away. It's transformed. And so we don't lose anything, but there's this transformation that happens. I also want to speak, though, what you said about this being loaded with emotion. Yes, like hands down, absolutely. And that can be a block for many of us for many, many years. Like there's a major lesson in the manual for teachers. It says there's a major lesson that God's teachers need to learn, and that is the ability to not get angry at our brother's magic thoughts. In other words, it's up to us to learn how to not get angry when, like, those around us are behaving insanely, because what might we fall into a trap of wanting to do but correct them, you know, judge them, that they're not being spiritual, that shouldn't be this way. So this is a major, major, major big deal lesson mm-hmm. for all of us to learn. And I just wanted to provide one other quick example that happened. Actually, I have this example in my book. I changed details to protect identities of people, but I had, there's a story in the book about a friend, and it actually wasn't a friend, it was a family member, who was blasting me for, I don't even know what, it was something that I could not have predicted would have caused such an eruption. And I've been down this pathway many, many times of, like, you know, they attack, I defend, I attack back, back and forth, back and forth. And I went through it enough times to finally be like, this isn't freaking working. Like, nothing is changing. You know, it's the same old happening in a different circumstance, different time, different month, different year. So what started to happen in me was almost what the manual was saying, with like learning how to not get angry at your brother's magic thoughts. I started practicing just standing in their fury, like not defending myself back. My ego wanted to scream when I tell you that, like, I wanted to be like, I'm innocent. You're nuts. You know, like, it wanted to just like yell up like that. But I multiple times had to just come to this place of willingness inside of me to be willing to see this as a call for love. And it wasn't like I always could see that, but I was still willing. And then it was like, that was like a little stepping stone into another experience. And now years later, I feel like this very difficult relationship has been just miraculously transformed. I don't expect that it's going to look all flowery all the time, but there have been very, very substantial shifts. So I just really mm-hmm. wanted to echo what you're saying, that yes, it's loaded with emotion, and it does require that we are willing to be happy instead of right. But that, you know, it's really not about just letting it go. It's really about turning to the Holy Spirit and experiencing mm-hmm. this removal, this shift.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That was helpful. Great point.
Actually,
anybody else want? Oh, Christine. Yes.
A couple lessons came up. I'm never upset for the reason I think. And if I defend myself, I will be attacked.
I am attacked.
I don't know
I
if I'm quote. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was quoting it right. But it also, things have been happening in my life where I started to worry, and the worry was all based on the past. It was like, well, this is happening, and it brought memories, and so it was like, oh God, the past is coming back to me again, I got to live in the now.
Yeah. in that present state of trust. In that present state of trust, that's what we are cultivating with every experience that we have, with every, you know, moment that we turn to the Holy Spirit. It's building our trust. And the fact that you can see, that's where awareness and, you know, watching, being that observer is so helpful, because when we can see that, like, oh, like, I'm stuck in worry right now, so number one, I'm aware of it, and number two, I can see it's completely based on the past, that awareness can really be helpful in us choosing again. So, well done.
You know, I think it's so amazing we're talking about this right now, because I'm going to be retiring in 3 days. And
wow.
I have a background fear. It lurks that I'm going to really miss what I've been doing. I'm going to miss the people. I'm going to, and I don't have to do that. That's what this is saying.
Right, right. You don't,
I don't
have,
to do that.
But also, it's just when you can catch, I can't stress enough how important it is to catch those background fears that are just like lurking in the background, and, you know, you kind of are aware of it, but you're not really, you know, giving it much thought or thinking about it. When just the fact that you identified it now, again, it's that opportunity to say, oh, Holy Spirit, I have this fear lingering in my mind that I'm really going to miss this. And yeah, that's, you know, that's a worry about the future, or, you know, it's based on the past. And you can go visit your colleagues anytime you want, or volunteer for them, I'm sure.
Oh, there's so many, there's so many positives to it that really, you know, I think just processing through it too, you know, allowing myself to feel what's happening.
Yeah.
It's helping so much, because a couple of weeks ago I was actually really feeling panicky about it, and just allowing that panic and you know, just saying, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, help me here. It's relieved so much of it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that it's relieved a lot, because really, I mean, if you think about it, retirement, getting married, moving, changing jobs, like these are all positive things, let's say, but they're considered major life stressors. Like,
yeah.
I have this, from when I was a therapist, this scale about, you know, it was a external stress test, I think it was called, and those things are at the top. So, like, when we go through these transitions, they're going to kick stuff up, and it's important that we allow ourselves to feel what's coming up, even go through a grieving process for a big change that's occurring, even though, you know, it's ultimately a positive thing. It's still a big change. So we have to feel and be where we are and allow our feelings to come up and not stuff them.
Well, I'm just amazed at the shifts that take place when, rather than trying to run from it, which I have done so much of my life in so many situations, I don't really do that much anymore. I kind of just go headlong, you know, and I really don't try to run. And it makes a big difference.
I completely relate to that. I completely agree.
It's
not
that fear of uncertainty, you know, and knowing that's all that is. You're just feeling uncertain. Well, when you have the Holy Spirit, God is in your life every minute. Really, what is there to be so uncertain about? So I keep going to that, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
And he's saying, I'm walking with you. I'm with you every moment. I mean, how many times does he say that in this text? And, you know, so, okay.
And that's the certainty that we trust. That's the certainty that we stay with. I love your point. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
We do not walk alone. And when we bring our minds into that space, like, again, how stable does everything feel, because we're grounded in God.
I keep saying I don't leave home without it. honestly, I think about that all the time. I'm not leaving home without him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking him with me.
I love it. I love that, Paula. We can even utilize the hire shopping service. It, for those of you who might not be familiar with that story, I think it's in, I'm pretty sure it's definitely in the CE somewhere, but it's in, when I first became aware of it, it was because I was studying the Ur-text, which is the earlier, you know, typing that Bill Thetford, I guess, did after Helen was reading him her notes. And there's a story in that that got edited out of the later editions, I think put back in with the CE edition, where Helen needed to go shopping for a coat, and Jesus was basically like, if you would have asked me, I could have saved you time. You should utilize the hire shopping service. So literally what you're saying, Paula, yes, a big yes to that.
Yeah.
We do not walk alone ever.
Love that.
Same. Oh, awesome. Any other comments or questions before we keep reading? Okay. Let's keep reading. So I just ended with the sentence, and see instead the new effects of cause accepted now with consequences here. Next paragraph, they will surprise you with their loveliness. The ancient new ideas they bring will be the happy consequences of a cause, a capital C cause, God, so ancient that it far exceeds the span of memory that your perception sees. This is the cause the Holy Spirit has remembered for you. There's that word for again. The Holy Spirit has remembered for you when you would forget. It is not past because he let it not be unremembered. It has never changed, because there never was a time in which he did not keep it safely in your mind. Its consequences will indeed seem new, because you thought that you remembered not their cause. Yet was it never absent from your mind, for it was not your Father's will that he be unremembered by his only Son. So the memory of God, I love how it says this. Where was it? Oh, it far exceeds the span of memory that your perception sees. So God is in our mind now and has always been, that spans beyond what we are, our tiny little blip of a memory that we think we have in this tiny little instant of time that we seem to be here. The memory of God, which is knowing God, has always been in our minds. It's never left. It's always been there. And it's never, I love how it says, it's never been absent from your mind, for it was not your Father's will that he be unremembered by his only Son. So that's, I feel like that's just what Paula was just saying. I feel like we're touching on the same thing about that certainty that we do not walk alone. That memory of God is not just a memory. It's not just a thought of God. It is the experience, the being, the knowing, the connection, the love of God. It's an experiential love, an experiential knowing of God that is in our minds and has always been there. So it's not just like a, you know, a memory, like you would think of, like, you know, what you ate earlier in the day. It's knowing God.
Oh. Hi, this is Christy. I have a question.
Sure.
So what if you're choosing, you're praying, choosing again, recognizing when you've chosen wrongly, but you're still in that huge, like, gripping anxiety or fear? What do you do with that? You just keep asking. It's not going away.
What's been helpful, there have been a few little, like, things that have been helpful to me, one of which is to start looking at where I'm unwilling. Like, what are the benefits that I'm getting out of this situation that, like, I must in some way, shape, or form not be letting go of? Like, what are some positives that could possibly be coming out of this? And those can be hard to see. But the biggest one is that the strife, the conflict, there's a quote in the Course that says the ego grows strong in strife. So the strife of it all, the conflict of everything, is keeping you identified as Christy. It's keeping me identified as Corinne. That's the bottom line benefit in any situation that seems to not be shifting, is that we still get to stay, you know, in this small sense of self. So because the ego, there's part of us that wants to hang on to that and is afraid it's going to lose something. So I take that as like a going in the back door rather than just like asking. I say, okay, where am I unwilling? I'm willing to look at my unwillingness. If I don't even know where I'm unwilling, I might say, Holy Spirit, show me where I'm unwilling. Like, I'm willing, you know, to look. Another thing that has been helpful to me is also to, you know, I've asked 1,000 times, okay, I'm going to bring my mind back to the truth. I'm just going to remember. I'm going to try to fully remember that right now, even in spite of the crazy circumstances around me, the intense, you know, circumstances, the really intense anxiety or fear that I'm having, I remain as God created me. There's that lesson in the workbook, I am still as God created me. His son can suffer nothing, and I am his son. It literally is about bringing your mind, reminding yourself that we have not changed truth. We are part of God right now. We are complete and whole and innocent and calm and peaceful right now, even if there is this surface level experience that is seeming to be anything but that. So it can also be helpful to kind of like try to become a witness to that anxiety, to see it rising, to not run away from it. Going back to what Paula said, this was a turning point for me in my healing when I always hated the anxiety and wanted it to go away. The turning point for me came when I stopped doing that. And instead, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, this is how I healed the early morning anxiety that I used to wake up with. Because I used to wake up with like this gripping feeling in my chest. Rather than distracting myself or just jumping out of bed, I started saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to turn away from this feeling. I'm looking at it with you until something shifts. That does require some working up to, because if the anxiety is so bad that that's going to throw you into panic, I would not recommend doing that yet. You know, it can be sort of eased into. And I just said a whole ton of things. Like lots of ideas. Are any of those helpful?
Yeah, I'm kind of at the panic stage already, like where I'm verge of tears and like feeling sick to my stomach and almost like I'm going to pass out when I think about certain things. Mm-hmm. So, and then that just comes with a whole barrage of thoughts that I'm like just constantly, I'm aware of them. But those do help, but it's just such a painful thing. And I'm beating myself up about, I know that doesn't help. That's like the ego coming in. Beating myself up about what I've manifested and then what I was believing and then the action I took out of the beliefs I was having, and it's just a mess. And then fear of a messing up a situation, all of that.
I want to take what you just said and extract out what you just said about manifesting, because that's where I think this term, which is very popular, of manifesting is not helpful, because we can get so caught up in like, oh my God, what am I doing to myself? That whole cycle of beating ourselves up that you just described. Like, I just called this upon myself. This isn't good. What am I doing? And it gets us into this spin. And instead, can you just see this as this is an opportunity to grow. This is an opportunity to learn. This is an opportunity to turn more deeply to the Holy Spirit than you thought you could. I remember there were times that the anxiety was so bad, it literally brought me to my knees at the side of my bed, and I was just like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go on. Like, you know, I'm letting everything go to you, Holy Spirit. I can't keep this tight grip anymore, so I'm handing it all over. So try to see this as an opportunity to grow instead of something that you called upon yourself, because I don't think that's helpful. I think that's just the ego, you know, trying to get in there again to beat yourself up, and that's just going to keep us stuck when we go into that. The other thing that I want to say, when the panic is really, really bad, and I'm very, I definitely write about that. Sometimes I'm like, I don't remember if I wrote about this or not, but like, I take a very middle of the road approach. When we're in a state of anxiety that's like so high that we're like, you know, having panic attacks or maybe really close to that, that's where, like, you know, doing things to bring that anxiety level down on the level of form can be really helpful. So if it's not like an all-out panic attack, maybe it's something that you can just distract. You can go for a walk. You can listen to music, go to the beach, you know, do something different. I needed medicine at one point. My anxiety was so incapacitating that I looked at that medicine, you know, traditional pharmaceuticals that get, like, poo-pooed. I looked at that as a temporary support system to help me get to the next level, because I was not going to stop doing this work. And so that's what it served for me. And then when, you know, I didn't need it anymore, it fell away. So I'm very, like, you know, moderate, like middle of the road like that when we are so caught in fear, do not feel guilty about, you know, relying on doctors or external help of whatever, you know, walks, exercise,
right,
reading something, you know, music, that kind of thing.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Of course. Of course. Thank you, Christy. I'm keeping you in my heart,
okay,
honey.
Thank you. Please do.
Yeah.
<Thanks.
laughs> Thank you. Oh, anybody else have a comment or a question?
Just back when I was in my 20s, I had the anxiety was just, it's really horrible. And the same thing, Corinne, I went to the doctor, he prescribed a antidepressant, because I couldn't eat, I was a mess. And I took it for maybe a month, and it got me out of that cycle. It was just absolutely, I never wanted to depend on drugs, and I never have, but boy, it just was exactly what I needed to just break that chain of events.
Yeah, and that's
so I'm right there with you on that one.
Yep. I just think I think it's problematic when we just rely on that and don't do anything else, you know. But I very much am a full supporter. It helped me when I needed it.
You know, I think one of the most important things really is just to let everything be. I think it's one of the workbook lessons. Let all things be exactly as they are. Not judging. Oh, I've had so many embarrassing moments as an older person with hearing difficulties. And sometimes it's like, you know, I just want to crawl under a rock. But if you just sit and look at it, you know, and just let it be exactly as it is.
Yeah.
There's something so wonderful about that. Just observing it, just simply observing it and not going, allowing yourself to go into that. Oh.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Paula. I love that. Let it be exactly as it is. That's not what the ego wants to hear. But can we find that, you know, it is possible to find that still point even when there's swirling chaos all around us. That's where I love mindfulness meditation so much, or even course-based meditation, just meditation in general, because it can be so helpful. Okay. We have 9 minutes left. Let's read another paragraph. You who have sought to lay a judgment on your own creator cannot understand it is not he who laid a judgment on his son. You would deny him his effects, yet they have never been denied. There was no time in which his son could be condemned for what was causeless and against his will. What your remembering would witness to is but the fear of God. He has not done the thing you fear. No more have you. And so your innocence has not been lost. You need no healing to be healed. Wow, I have to read that again. I'm going to back up. He has not done the thing you fear. No more have you. And so your innocence has not been lost. You need no healing to be healed. In quietness, see in the miracle a lesson in allowing cause to have its own effect and doing nothing that would interfere. This is clearly saying that you are innocent. You don't need healing to be healed because you already are. And we simply need to just not interfere. We simply need to not interfere with the truth because it just is. That love is constantly extending. We identified with egos try to constantly arrest it in judgment. This is also, this paragraph is also speaking to the fact, I'm going to read the footnote. We believe that God has judged and condemned us for leaving him, and as a result, has been punishing us down through the ages. Yet all of this is just our projection onto him. We therefore need to forgive him, not for his sins, but for what we have projected onto him. You know, another tool that I'll throw out there for any of us who experience free-floating anxiety, maybe like that anxiety sometimes that seems to not be attached to anything, or it can be attached to something, but like this is still kind of lurking in the background, like Paula was saying before, that sort of background belief. We have this background belief, the ego does, that God is mad at us for seemingly separating, but we've just put our projections onto God. God has never been punishing us, is not mad at us, has not ever condemned us, cannot, is completely incapable of that. So I also remember a time, too, when it was also helpful for me to think that I felt like I was, my anxiety was so bad, I felt like I was touching on, like, this primal belief that I believed that something was out to get me. And what was that something but God, ultimately? And that's a false belief. So I would literally frame my anxiety in that and, again, be willing by bringing it to the Holy Spirit to see it differently. Oh, I love that. You need no healing to be healed. You already are healed. So that's a thought, too, of just, again, bringing our mind back to the truth. You're innocent right now. You've done nothing wrong that has hurt or changed the truth at all. We need no healing to be healed. We simply need not interfere.
It's as if this last paragraph was just waiting for us.
Right?
in this conversation tonight. It's like he's one step ahead of us every time.
I know. I agree. I totally agree. I love it when that's so clear, too. Right? When we can see that. Because we just talked about something and then we read it in the next paragraph. Oh, and speaking of, let's move on. Let's read another paragraph. We're gonna keep going. The miracle comes quietly into the mind that stops an instant and is still. It reaches gently from that quiet time, and from the mind it healed in quiet then to other minds to share its quietness. And they will join in doing nothing to prevent its radiant extension back to the mind that caused all minds to be. Born out of sharing, there can be no pause in time to cause the miracle delay in hastening to all unquiet minds and bringing them an instant stillness where the memory of God returns to them. Their own remembering is quiet now, and what has come to take its place will not be wholly unremembered afterwards. I feel like this is a good paragraph to end because I feel like this is a little dose of inspiration to get quiet, to, if you feel like you've strayed from a quiet time or a meditation practice before bed tonight, just sit for 5 minutes on your couch with the lights out, maybe before you go, you know, lie down in bed. The miracle comes quietly into the mind that stops an instant and is still. And it doesn't just help us. I love how it says, it joins in doing nothing to prevent its radiant extension back to the mind that caused all minds to be. And then, I'm sorry, it's the next sentence, born out of sharing. There can be no pause in time to cause the miracle delay and hastening to all unquiet minds. So our stillness, our rest in quiet, even if it's just for 5 minutes, even if it's just an instant, goes out, hastens to all other unquiet minds, bringing them an instant stillness where the memory of God returns to them. We know that our brothers, every living thing on this planet, can benefit from your stillness, from your quiet. So I'm committing to doing 5 minutes before bed. I'm anybody in with me?
I'm right there with you.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. 5 minutes or more, whenever it feels good, but remembering God only takes an instant, so. Beautiful. Okay, we're going to end there. Any other final comments or questions before we go? This is fun. Thank you all so much for holding the space for one another and for your presence, your sharing, your insights, and it always, always, always helps me. I benefit from these calls just as much as the next person, and I'm just so grateful that you all made the time to be here. So I love you all. Have a wonderful week. Happy retirement in 3 days, Paula.
Hallelujah.
Happy retirement.
Thank you so much, Paula.
That's awesome. I'll see you all next week. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Have a great
week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Goodbye.